Story 1. I don't usually talk about this because anytime UFOs or alien stuff come up, people either laugh or get too carried away. But I've carried this memory for years, and no matter how I try to rationalize it, it still creeps me out. I don't claim to have seen a UFO. I saw one. Whether it was something unearthly or just some experimental craft, I can't say. All I know is what I experienced, and I've never been able to shake it. The night it happened, I was out by the coast with an old camera slung around my neck. I had been taking shots of the ocean at night, mostly long exposures to catch the reflection of the moon across the water. It was one of those strangely quiet nights, the kind where the waves are steady, but the air itself feels still, heavy almost, like something is waiting. Even the usual background noise of insects or distant cars seemed absent. I noticed it, but brushed it off. Nights get quiet sometimes, right? Still, I remember thinking the silence felt unnatural, like the whole area was holding its breath. At first, there were small things that should have tipped me off. The camera, for one. It had been working fine earlier, but when I tried to snap a few shots before the encounter, the shutter jammed twice. I fiddled with it until it finally clicked, but those pictures came out blurry. I thought maybe the film had gone bad, which was frustrating, but not terrifying. Then my flashlight, which I had used to hike down the trail, flickered weakly when I tested it, even though the batteries were brand new. Again, I shrugged it off. Cameras and flashlights malfunction. It wasn't until later that I started thinking, maybe those were warning signs. Around that time, the air changed. I don't know how else to describe it except that it felt charged, like static electricity crawling just under my skin. My hair stood on end, and there was this low hum, so faint I couldn't tell if I was really hearing it or if it was inside my head. I remember scanning the sky because I thought maybe a storm was rolling in, but the stars were perfectly clear, the sky wide open and cloudless. That's when I saw them. Two lights appeared on the far horizon, just above the black edge of the ocean. At first I thought they were stars, but they were too bright, white, piercing, like someone had poked holes in the night. They hovered for maybe a second, then began to move. I told myself it had to be planes, but the way they glided was wrong. They didn't blink, they didn't waver, and they made no sound at all. Within seconds, they were overhead, directly above me. My gut reaction was to raise the camera and snap a picture, and I did, but when I wound the film and tried again, the camera jammed completely. I couldn't get another shot, no matter how I tried. The lights kept moving, faster than anything I've ever seen in the sky, from the ocean horizon straight over me, then gone behind the tree line inland. The whole trip, horizon to horizon, took maybe 2 seconds. It was so quick my brain struggled to process it. And that silence, not a single sound, not from the lights themselves, not from the forest, not from the ocean. Everything was still, as if the world itself paused to watch them pass. When the lights disappeared, the strange hum stopped, the static feeling faded, and the usual sounds of the night slowly crept back in. The surf, the faint rustle of wind through the trees, even a few insects buzzing. It was like someone hit play again after a pause. I stood there for a long time, waiting for something else to happen, but nothing did. Eventually, I packed up and went home, but I couldn't shake the unease. My skin felt cold all the way back, and when I checked my camera later, the one photo I had managed to take was nothing but a blur of light streaks. No shape, no detail. Just proof that I had seen something, but nothing that anyone would find convincing. That's the part that still bothers me the most. Even if the picture had turned out perfectly, it would only have shown two bright dots in the sky. People would just say they were stars or planes or maybe satellites. And perhaps they were. But I can't explain how they moved or how they were completely silent or why the air itself seemed to change right before they appeared. To this day, I can't explain any of it. I've told myself 1,000 times it could have been a military craft or some weird atmospheric effect. That's what skeptics would say, right? But the truth is, I saw those lights move from one end of the sky to the other, faster than anything I've ever witnessed, and it didn't behave like anything I know. I still don't know what I saw. All I know is that it wasn't normal. And even though it wasn't the stereotypical flying saucer or little green men, I think that's what makes it worse. It was so simple, so quick, so undeniably real that I can't dismiss it as imagination. Something was there, and then it was gone. And I'll never forget the silence or the feeling that, for just a moment, I was standing beneath something far beyond human. Story 2. Back in 1992, I had an experience on Nick Goose Bay Road outside Wasilla, Alaska, that has stayed with me every single day of my life. Even now, when I drive past that stretch of road, I get this knot in my stomach that makes me want to turn around and go the long way. I've told maybe two people about it in 30 years, and one of them was there with me when it happened. She wouldn't even look me in the eye when I brought it up. The way she reacted made me realize that whatever happened that night didn't just sit heavy with me, it haunted both of us. The two of us were in the car that evening, heading back from a friend's family dairy farm outside Wasilla. We'd spent hours there, just hanging out, the way you do when you're young and trying to waste time in a small town. The night was clear, colder than usual, and the kind of quiet where you can hear your own thoughts. I remember us being a little tired, half joking about how long the drive was, when the first light appeared in the sky. At first it seemed like a star, too bright though, and too low. Then it blinked out and reappeared, what looked like half the horizon away, in the span of a heartbeat. A second later, another appeared. Before long, there were five of them, glowing this cold white-blue color, drifting but somehow moving faster than anything I'd ever seen. The strangest part wasn't just the speed or the brightness, it was the way they'd vanish and reappear, like someone flipping a switch. We both noticed it, and though we didn't say anything directly, I could feel the tension inside the car shifting. Jokes stopped. The radio was turned down. Eyes darted back and forth, watching the sky. I think we were silently waiting for someone else to confirm we were seeing it. The longer it went on, the heavier it felt, like the air in the car was too thick. Eventually, I pulled the car to the side of the road because it was impossible to keep driving and watching the sky at the same time. That's the last thing I remember clearly before there's this blank space in my mind. When I think back on it, it's like a skip scene in a movie. One moment, we were parked and watching, and the next thing I knew, we were standing outside the car. All four doors were shut, the engine was off, and we were just there on the roadside like statues, looking at each other in complete silence. None of us remembered opening the doors. None of us remembered stepping out. It was as if we had been placed there without our say in it. And the silence, God, the silence, felt unnatural. I've lived in Alaska my whole life, and I know what a quiet night feels like. This wasn't that. This was like the world had gone mute, as if even the insects and night birds had stopped existing. That was when everything seemed to dim. It was already dark, but it got darker, like someone had pulled a shade over the stars. Both of us instinctively looked up at the same exact second, and that's when we saw it. Hovering above us, no more than 60 or maybe 80 yards in the air, was a massive triangular craft, completely flat, completely black, edges sharp enough to look drawn with a ruler. It took up half the sky above us, easily the size of half a football field. There were no lights, no sounds, no humming engines or thrusters, just this enormous void floating directly above our heads. I remember feeling something I can't explain even now. Not just fear, but a kind of deep wrongness, like standing at the edge of a cliff with no railing. Every hair on my body was standing up, and my chest felt heavy, like something was pressing down on it. I wanted to run, but my legs wouldn't move. We were trapped there, frozen beneath this thing that defied every bit of logic I'd ever known. And then, without even speaking, without even acknowledging each other, both of us seemed to snap at the same time. Almost like a herd instinct, we scrambled back into the car. The way we moved wasn't natural. It was panicked, frantic, like prey animals trying to get away from a predator. The engine roared back to life, and we drove. No one said a word for the rest of the trip home. Not one word. Years later, I tried bringing it up to the girl who had been with me that night. She was usually easygoing, always laughing, never rattled. But the second I mentioned Nick Goose Bay Road, and that night, she froze. Her face went pale, her hands started trembling, and she told me she didn't want to talk about it. She didn't deny it happened. She didn't brush it off as teenage nonsense. She just shut down completely.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Like she couldn't even let herself think about it. That reaction chilled me more than the memory itself, because it confirmed that I hadn't imagined it, and that whatever we saw had marked her just as much as it marked me. I don't know what we saw that night. A part of me wants to believe there's some rational explanation. Secret military testing, optical illusions, tricks of the eye. Skeptics always bring up those things, and maybe they're right. But deep down, I can't shake the feeling that what we stood under on that empty road wasn't anything man-made. It wasn't a trick of the light. It wasn't just our imagination. I think something found us there, and for a few minutes, we were not in control of what happened to us. Even now, decades later, when I close my eyes and let myself drift back, I can still feel that crushing silence, the black triangle hovering like a predator above us, blotting out the stars. And I wonder if it was gone when we drove away, or if it's been with me ever since, just waiting for the night it decides to come back. Story 3. This happened back in the summer of 2014, and even though I've told myself countless times to just forget it, the memory creeps up on me whenever I'm outside at night. I grew up in a small rural town in Oklahoma, where late-night drives and sitting out in fields were part of the usual routine. I worked construction back then, and I'd get home late, often too wired from the job to just crash right away. That night, I decided to clear my head by driving out past the edge of town. There's this dirt road that cuts through farmland, and at the time, it was one of the only places I could sit in silence without headlights from passing cars. The air was heavy, the kind of sticky warmth before a storm, but there was no rain yet, just a restless wind that kept the crops bending and whispering. I parked my truck by a field and killed the engine. For the first half hour, it was uneventful. I had the window rolled down and was scrolling through my phone when I noticed the sky flicker. At first, I figured it was lightning, even though there were no clouds overhead thick enough to hide a storm. I leaned out, expecting to hear distant thunder, but the night stayed completely silent. That's when I saw it, an unnatural glow low on the horizon, just above the tree line. It wasn't the pale yellow of farm lights or the faint white of stars. It was a bluish green, hazy but pulsing, almost like it was alive. I kept thinking maybe a combine harvester had some kind of rigged up lights, but this glow floated higher, drifting slow, then suddenly darting sideways in a way no machine I knew of could move. My first instinct was to grab my phone and start recording, but I just froze. I'd seen weird things before, stray drones, military jets cutting across the sky, but nothing like this. The glow grew brighter until it was clear there wasn't just one. Three orbs floated in a rough triangle, shifting in and out of formation, like they were tethered by something invisible. They weren't solid lights either. They shimmered, kind of like heat waves on asphalt, with this faint outline that looked wrong. My stomach twisted watching them because it wasn't just light. It was like they had mass, like something larger was cloaked around them, distorting the air itself. I sat rigid in my truck, phone still in my hand but unable to hit record. The lights hovered closer until I could see they weren't above the trees anymore. They were in the field, not touching the ground, but maybe 30 feet up, rotating slowly. As they turned, I caught sight of what looked like shadows spilling out beneath them. It was like the earth itself was bending upward, as if pulled toward whatever those things were. My chest tightened because the silence was unbearable. No crickets, no wind. Even the crops had stopped swaying, like time itself was holding its breath. I remember texting a buddy, trying to describe what I was seeing, but my signal dropped instantly. Not weak reception, not one bar, just nothing, like I'd stepped out of the world for a moment. I thought about starting the truck and leaving, but the moment I reached for the key, my headlights flickered on without me touching anything. The beam stretched across the field, and for just a second, I swear I saw something tall standing between the rows. It wasn't human-shaped, not exactly. It was thin, elongated, with a pale reflective surface that caught the light and shimmered like wet skin. I blinked, and it was gone. My pulse was hammering, and I remember gripping the steering wheel so hard my knuckles turned white. The orbs pulsed brighter and then shot upward with a force that made the ground tremble. Dirt and bits of crop whipped against my windshield as if some massive pressure had been released. In less than a blink, they were gone, just vanished into the black sky, leaving no trail, no sound, nothing. I sat there gasping, headlights still on, but the silence lingered for a long minute before the night slowly bled back in. Crickets started chirping again, the wind picked up, and the crops rustled like nothing had happened. By the time I got home, my phone signal was back, and the text I had sent earlier finally went through. My buddy responded confused, saying it sounded like I'd been drinking. When I tried to explain it in detail, he laughed it off and told me I probably saw a crop duster, or maybe flares from the military base two counties over. I wanted to argue, but what could I say? There was no proof, no video, just my rattled memory and the smell of burnt ozone clinging to my clothes that I couldn't explain. I've never gone back to that field since. The next morning, I drove there out of curiosity, and I swear the crops looked flattened in a perfect circle where I had seen those lights hover. But even that could have been the storm that rolled in later that night. That's what I tell myself anyway. Still, every time I look at the sky now, a part of me expects to see them again. And honestly, the scariest part isn't that I saw something unexplainable. It's how quiet the world felt when they were there, like everything alive had the sense to hide, and I was the only one dumb enough to be watching. Story 4. I've always been the kind of person who likes to sit outside at night and stare at the sky. It's a quiet habit, something I do to calm myself after long days. Where I live, the nights are usually clear, and you can see a surprising number of stars when the streetlights aren't too overpowering. That night started off like any other. Me, sitting in the back garden with a blanket around my shoulders, scrolling absent-mindedly through my phone, while occasionally looking up at the constellations I know by heart. Nothing unusual, nothing that hinted at how wrong the night would turn. It began with a sound, a low, distant hum that seemed to come from nowhere and everywhere at once. At first, I thought it was just a generator, or maybe a neighbor's AC unit kicking in, but it carried an odd vibration with it, like the way your chest rattles when a bass speaker is too loud. I sat up, listening more carefully, but it faded almost as quickly as it appeared. That should have been the first sign to just go inside, but I brushed it off. You hear strange things at night all the time, right? I turned my eyes back to the sky and noticed a bright point of light just above the tree line. It wasn't unusual to see bright stars or planets from my garden, and for a moment, I assumed it was Jupiter or maybe Venus. It hung there steady and luminous, brighter than the others around it, the kind of thing that grabs your eye and keeps you looking at it longer than you intended. I even pulled out a stargazing app on my phone to check which planet it might be. But before I could confirm anything, the light shifted. It wasn't a trick of the eyes. I watched it move, smoothly, deliberately, across the sky. My first thought was that it was just a plane, but there were no blinking strobes, no trail, nothing. Planes have a certain rhythm, a steady crawl across the sky. This light glided like it didn't obey the same rules. That creeping unease began settling in the back of my mind, the kind you try to reason away but can't quite shake. And then, like something out of a bad movie, I heard footsteps behind me. Just one or two, soft against the grass, but loud enough that I froze. I turned sharply, expecting to see a neighbor, or maybe even a stray cat. But there was nothing. Just the darkness, heavy and pressing. The shadows between the hedges seeming deeper than they should have been. My chest tightened, and I forced a laugh under my breath, telling myself it was just the wind shifting the branches. But I couldn't stop the feeling that something had been there, watching. I tried to focus back on the light in the sky. It calmed me somehow to fixate on it, but as I did, I noticed the air around me had gone unnaturally still. No insects, no night birds, no rustling leaves. The silence was thick, almost buzzing, and I felt every hair on my arm stand on end. The light continued to move, and I convinced myself it was just a satellite. I've seen plenty of those before. Tiny specks crossing the heavens in straight, predictable lines. Except this one wasn't predictable. Without warning, the light shifted direction sharply, almost a perfect 120-degree turn. No satellite moves like that. No human-made craft I know of moves like that either. It was sudden, unnatural, and it made my stomach drop. I wanted to believe I was imagining it, that my eyes were tired, or maybe I'd had one too many beers earlier. But then, the light pulsed, just once, a flicker, as though it was acknowledging me watching it. That was the moment I realized how wrong everything felt. My mind raced with explanations, military technology, drones, some atmospheric phenomenon. But deep down, something primal screamed at me that none of those answers fit. This wasn't ours. It didn't belong to anything I knew. The light paused in the sky for what felt like an eternity, hovering as though considering its next move. My heart pounded so hard I could hear it in my ears. Then, in an instant, it accelerated away. Not in a gradual build of speed, but in a flash, like it was simply gone. One moment it was there, dominating my vision, and the next the sky was empty. I sat there, paralyzed, trying to process what had just happened. That was when the hum returned, louder this time, vibrating the ground beneath me. I stood up, panic clawing at my chest, ready to bolt for the safety of my house. But just as suddenly as it had come, it vanished. The air shifted back to normal, insects and birds chirped again, and it was as if the night had reset itself. I don't know what I saw. I've gone over it 100 times in my head, and I still can't make sense of it. Some days I tell myself it was just a satellite, maybe a drone, some secret piece of tech I'm not meant to understand. Other days I think about the way it turned, the way it seemed to pulse in acknowledgement, the silence, the footsteps, the hum. Those are the details I can't shake, the ones that keep me up at night. I don't tell people this story often because I know how it sounds. I wouldn't believe it myself if I hadn't lived it. But every time I go out into the garden now, every time I look up at the stars, I feel a tightness in my chest. Because either we are very, very alone, and someone out there is playing with technology the rest of us can't even comprehend, or we are not alone at all. And honestly, I'm not sure which idea terrifies me more. Story 5. 5 years ago, I went through 2 experiences that I still don't fully understand. And even now, I can't decide if what happened to me was some sort of abduction, a medical episode, or just the strangest, most vivid, lucid dreams I've ever had in my life. I don't tell this often. I've only ever shared it with my ex-girlfriend, who was with me when it happened, and much later with a therapist who didn't dismiss it, but also didn't quite have an explanation. Even now, I feel weird putting this into words, but I need to get it out of my head. The first time, everything started normally. I went to bed next to my girlfriend. No stress, nothing unusual about the day. But sometime during the night, I woke up in a place that didn't make sense. I was in what looked like a sterile room, almost like a surgical ward, except the entire room was spinning so violently that I couldn't stand. It was like one of those carnival rides where you're pressed against the walls and can't move. Only it wasn't fun. It was terrifying. The harder I fought to pull myself upright, the more the world seemed to tilt and whip around me. I tried to crawl, forcing myself across the floor, and somehow made it toward a metal table nearby. On top of it were strange-looking instruments. Surgical? Medical? I couldn't focus enough to make them out. Everything blurred and twisted. I grabbed for the edge to try and anchor myself, but in the process, I knocked everything over. The clattering rang in my ears, and then blackness. The next thing I remember is being back in my bed, except the dizziness followed me. My stomach churned, my vision spun, and all I could do was roll onto my side and vomit. My girlfriend woke to the sound of me gagging and saw me collapse as I tried to get out of bed. I remember reaching for something to steady myself, but my body betrayed me, my legs giving out under the weight of the dizziness. She was frightened, asking if I was sick. But I couldn't even respond properly, just kept heaving and clutching at the sheets like the room hadn't stopped moving. By the morning, the sickness was gone, leaving me drained. But what haunted me more was how real it all felt. I might have chalked it up to some freak dream or vertigo episode, but about 2 weeks later, it happened again. and this time was worse. Like before, I woke up, but this time not in some spinning surgical chamber. I was in my own kitchen, standing, though it felt more like I was being positioned, in front of the large west-facing window. The same crushing sensation of spinning overwhelmed me, as though gravity itself was shifting, dragging me toward that window. And through the open space, illuminated in a strange pale glow, something reached in. To this day, I don't know what to call it. It wasn't a human hand. It wasn't an animal's claw. It was an appendage of some sort, long, segmented, almost like an arm or a tentacle, stretching unnaturally as if it were searching for me. Every instinct screamed at me to get away, to run, but the spinning held me in place, crushing me under its invisible weight. I tried to scream, to shout at it to leave me alone, but it was as if the force had swallowed my voice. My words came out muffled, trapped in my throat, like trying to scream underwater. I struggled against it, fought to push myself back, but it was like moving through quicksand. My body just wouldn't obey. Then, just like before, everything blinked out. When I came to again, I was lying in my bed, drenched in sweat, sick to my stomach, gagging from the same dizziness as before. I barely made it to the bathroom before throwing up again. My girlfriend looked at me with this horrified expression, insisting something wasn't right, that maybe I needed a doctor. I could only shake my head, unable to put into words what I'd seen or what I thought I'd seen. After those two nights, it never happened again, but they linger in my mind like scars. Sometimes I wonder if it was sleep paralysis or some bizarre neurological event. That's what most of the people would say. Maybe my brain misfired in the middle of REM sleep. Maybe vertigo explains the spinning. Maybe I hallucinated the appendage through a haze of sickness. And yet, it didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like a dream. My body reacted physically. I vomited, collapsed, and couldn't walk. The sensation carried over into waking reality. I brought it up with my therapist months ago. They didn't dismiss me, but they also didn't try to define it. They just told me it was an experience, one I might find clarity about down the road, maybe when I'm ready. My ex never had an explanation either, though I know she remembers waking to me retching violently, too weak to stand. Maybe it was all in my head, maybe not, but I can still feel that spinning when I think about it, still see that pale glow spilling in from the window, still remember the way that thing reached through the dark toward me. And the worst part is, I never actually saw where it was coming from. Sometimes I lie awake at night, staring at that same window, wondering if it's waiting to finish what it started. Story 6. I know childhood imagination can play tricks, but I swear to this day, it felt real in a way nightmares never do. I've carried this memory since I was about 8 years old, and every time I try to convince myself it was just some strange dream, something inside me refuses to accept it. The more I push it away, the sharper the details feel when they resurface, as if the memory doesn't want to fade. When I was a kid, my mom worked long nights cleaning offices, and I was often left home alone in our apartment. We lived in one of those three-story brick buildings with thin walls and creaky pipes, the kind of place where the hum of the fridge or the sudden knock of the radiator could easily make you think someone was moving around inside. It was late summer, I remember, because I had the window cracked open and the smell of cut grass still lingered in the air. That night, the usual city noise outside felt muted. The cars on the distant street seemed fewer than normal, and the occasional dog barked once and then went quiet, like even the animals knew to hush. I went to bed around midnight, pulling the blanket up tight because being alone always made me uneasy. At some point in the middle of the night, I woke up suddenly. It wasn't to a sound exactly, but more like the absence of sound. The fan I had left on had stopped spinning, and the apartment had this suffocating stillness, as if even the air had frozen. My eyes drifted to the hallway outside my door, and that's when I noticed a faint glow, pale and shifting, like moonlight reflecting off water. At first, I thought it was just a streetlight casting a weird reflection, but then I saw movement. Something was standing just inside the hallway, not fully in my room, not fully hidden. It was tall, far taller than my mom or any adult I knew, its head brushing close to the ceiling. My body locked up instantly, the kind of paralyzing fear where your brain screams to move, but your muscles refuse to listen. All I could do was watch. The figure was unlike anything I had ever seen. Its skin seemed almost translucent, not gray, but a sickly off-white with faint veins visible beneath, as though its body barely contained whatever it was made of. Its arms were too long, and its head seemed slightly too large, with eyes that didn't just reflect the dim light, they absorbed it. The more I stared, the more it felt like those eyes weren't looking at me, but through me, into something deeper. I wanted to scream, but not a sound left my throat. It raised one of its hands, and I noticed it wasn't empty. In its grip was a thin, rod-like object that glowed faintly at the tip. It leaned toward the wall by my bedroom door and began tracing slow, deliberate shapes, each line leaving behind a faint shimmer that hovered for a few seconds before fading. I couldn't make sense of what it was drawing, circles within circles, jagged lines that bent into spirals, but it didn't feel random. It felt like it was writing something, a language I wasn't meant to understand. Somewhere in the fog of my panic, I remember a thought pushing into my mind, not in words exactly, but in a pressure that translated as meaning. You'll know one day. It wasn't a voice. It wasn't sound. It was more like someone placing an idea in my head without asking permission. My heart hammered so hard I thought I'd pass out, but I never broke eye contact. I was too terrified to look away. Then, without warning, every light in the apartment flickered. The glow from the rod sputtered and died, and the figure stepped back. The hallway seemed to bend around it, the air rippling like heat distortion. For a moment, it was there and not there at the same time, as if it were slipping between two layers of reality. And then, in the blink of an eye, it was gone. No sound of footsteps, no door opening, just gone. I must have blacked out because the next thing I remember is waking up in daylight, my blanket damp from sweat and my heart still racing. The hallway looked normal, but when I got up to check the wall where it had drawn, I froze. There was a faint residue, almost like chalk dust, clinging to the paint. I ran my hand across it and it smudged away, leaving no trace. To this day, I can't explain it. For years, I told myself it had to have been a dream. Kids see strange things, and the brain can invent wild images when half asleep. But the older I got, the more I realized how much it didn't feel like a dream. Dreams fade. They blur at the edges, losing detail the harder you try to recall them. But this memory has stayed sharp, unchanging, as if it's carved into me. Whenever I share the story, people offer explanations. Sleep paralysis, overactive imagination, maybe even an intruder my young brain reshaped into a monster. All possible, I guess. But no explanation accounts for the marks on the wall, or the way that thought wasn't mine yet lived in my head afterward. I've never seen anything like it again, but sometimes late at night when the house goes silent and the air feels too still, I find myself staring at the walls, half expecting those shapes to return. And every time I wonder if one day I'll finally understand what it meant. Story 7. Things happen. Life is happening. But whatever I had experienced was beyond ordinary, like something that stuck inside my head. I wasn't the type of person who usually talked about strange sightings, but what happened last month has sat in my head like a splinter I can't remove. It was late on a Wednesday night, around 11:30, when I left a friend's place in Fremont and decided to take the long route home along Calaveras Road. The night was unusually still, the air crisp and dry, and the reservoir beside the road was dark as a pit. That whole area has always felt a little eerie at night, like the hills are watching you, and the lack of streetlights makes you rely solely on your headlights. About halfway down the winding road, I noticed an odd brightness flickering against the hillsides. At first, I thought it was the glare of another car's high beams bending around the curves, but the light seemed to hover, shifting from a dull orange glow to a sharp bluish white. I pulled over at a small gravel turnout to get a better look. The reservoir stretched out in front of me, smooth and black, reflecting faint stars. Above it, the light thickened into three distinct shapes, hanging low and silent, too still for airplanes. I told myself they must be helicopters, maybe some sort of late-night patrol or military exercise, though there was no sound, no thudding rotors, no distant hum. Just absolute silence. The three lights arranged themselves in a perfect triangle, then merged into a single bright orb that lit up the water beneath as though someone had dropped a flare. That's when the strangeness really began. The surface of the reservoir rippled violently, though there was no wind. I could see the concentric waves spreading out like something massive was moving under the water. The orb pulsed once, twice, each time brighter, and then shot upward at an impossible speed, vanishing into the stars. My chest went hollow, like the air had been sucked from my lungs, and the silence was deafening. I sat there gripping the steering wheel, half expecting to wake up from a dream. Just as I was about to start the car again, I noticed movement out of the corner of my eye. On the opposite shore of the reservoir, directly across from where I was parked, I saw several tall, thin silhouettes standing in a cluster. They weren't holding flashlights, and there was no car or boat nearby. Yet they were clearly visible, as if faintly glowing against the darkness. I blinked hard, rubbed my eyes, but when I looked again, they were still there, unmoving, lined up like they were watching me. My heart pounded so violently I could feel it in my teeth. I thought maybe it was a trick of my eyes, or distant poles, or trees shaped strangely, but the way they shifted slightly, like something breathing, convinced me I wasn't imagining it. I started the car and drove off faster than I should have on that narrow road. As the curves carried me away, I couldn't help but glance in the rearview mirror. The glowing shapes were gone, but for a brief second, I saw a faint shimmer of light trailing along the hillside as though something was pacing me from the ridge. When I finally made it home, I tried to rationalize it all. Maybe the lights were drones, maybe the ripples were fish or some natural disturbance, and the figures were just shadows on the shore. But the silence, that's what I can't explain. Even now, weeks later, I'll be sitting in my living room, and I'll swear I hear the faint sound of water lapping against a shore, even though I live miles from the reservoir. Last night, when I looked out my bedroom window, I could have sworn I saw three small lights hovering above the hill near my house, perfectly still, before they winked out all at once. I haven't driven that road again since. Story 8. It happened in the late 90s, back when I was barely out of high school and working nights at a local diner. After closing one evening, a friend and I decided to unwind by heading out to the old limestone quarry a few miles outside of town. It was abandoned, completely overgrown, and hidden down a dirt track that few people bothered with anymore. The place had a reputation for being eerie, even in daylight, but the isolation made it the perfect spot to relax without worrying about being disturbed. We parked near the rim, killed the headlights, and sat in the pitch black. The air was still, with only the faint sound of animals echoing from the brush. I remember leaning back and immediately noticing how clear the sky was. Without the glow of the town nearby, the stars seemed endless, thickly spread across the night. At first, everything felt calm. My friend rummaged around in the bag he had brought while I sat staring upward. That's when the first strange thing happened. From behind us came the sharp flash of light, the kind that looks exactly like car headlights sweeping around a bend. I panicked for a moment, thinking someone had followed us down the track, maybe cops or some local farmer. But when I turned, there was nothing. No vehicle, no sound of tires, not even the dust that a truck would have kicked up. Just the quick burst of illumination that faded as fast as it had appeared. I told myself it must have been my eyes playing tricks, a reflection from somewhere. My friend brushed it off, barely acknowledging what I had said, but something about that moment unsettled me deeply. I tried to ignore it, shifting my focus back to the stars. That was when I saw it, a single point of light, no different from the thousands of others scattered across the sky, except this one seemed sharper somehow, brighter, as though it didn't quite belong. For reasons I still can't explain, I couldn't stop staring at it. Within seconds, it began to move. At first, I thought it might be a satellite, but the way it darted from side to side, up and down, in perfectly smooth, fluid motions made me freeze. Satellites don't do that. Airplanes don't either. And there was no sound, just silence so complete that all the other noises seemed to fade away. I pointed it out, and after a few moments, my friend said that he couldn't see anything. Still, he stopped what he was doing and leaned forward, watching. For several minutes, I sat there in stunned disbelief as this star danced across the sky, looping, circling, and dropping before shooting back up again. It moved so gracefully that it felt deliberate, like something was showing us, or me specifically, what it could do. Then, without warning, the single light fractured into several smaller ones, maybe half a dozen, each just as sharp and bright, gliding in patterns that made no sense. Sometimes they clustered together in a tight formation, and other times they scattered apart, weaving around each other like they were alive. I sat frozen, but my friend, he was still clueless about what was happening out there in the sky. It didn't feel dangerous at first, only unexplainable. But then the lights shifted. Where the first set of movements had seemed almost playful, the second set felt chaotic, erratic. The smaller lights began to dart in sharp, jagged bursts, cutting across the sky at impossible speeds, then stopping on a dime. At one point, they formed a line that stretched across nearly the entire horizon, then suddenly collapsed back into a single brilliant sphere. My chest tightened. My friend told me that he was sleepy, and so he went inside the car. Meanwhile, I muttered under my breath as the display was starting to feel hostile. As if on cue, the sphere flared brighter than before, casting a faint glow over the quarry walls. The rocks around seemed to shimmer, shadows bending at strange angles as though the light wasn't following natural rules. For a brief moment, I thought I saw figures, too grotesque and eerie looking, standing on the far side of the pit. Too far to make out details, but close enough to see their faces, disfigured completely. I knew they weren't trees. They stood completely still, lined up in a row, their forms flickering in and out like they weren't fully solid. I blinked hard and they were gone, leaving only the after image burned into my vision. That was enough. I got inside and told my friend we needed to leave. He didn't argue. We started the car and sped down the dirt track, gravel spraying behind us. But the strangest part came as we reached the edge of town. Glancing in the rearview mirror, I could see that single bright sphere trailing us, hovering above the tree line like it was pacing the car. Every few seconds, it would flicker and split into multiple lights again, then merge back, always keeping its distance but never letting us out of its sight. It finally vanished as we hit the first street light at the edge of the suburbs, dissolving into nothing as though it had never been there at all. I sat in silence, not willing to be the first to admit how terrified I had been. Even now, decades later, I can still picture it vividly. Maybe it was some kind of experimental aircraft. Maybe our eyes were tricked by reflections and atmospheric effects. That's what I tell myself when I'm trying to sleep. But deep down, I can't shake the feeling that whatever it was, it noticed us, me. And for a while, it wanted me to notice it too. Story 9. When I was a kid, maybe around 10 or 11, I had an experience that has stuck with me for life. I grew up in a farmhouse miles outside of town, surrounded by open fields and patches of dense trees. The nearest neighbors were far enough away that at night the countryside felt like a void, nothing but fireflies, wind, and the occasional bark of a dog echoing across the fields. My bedroom was on the second floor, tucked into the corner of the house. It had two windows, one looking out across the north pasture, and the other facing west toward the tree line. My bed sat just beneath the west window, where the moonlight usually slipped in at night. I wasn't a light sleeper back then, so when I woke up suddenly in the middle of the night, it jarred me. What pulled me out of sleep wasn't a dream, but the sound of our dog, Molly, going absolutely wild. She usually slept soundly on the floor beside my bed, but this time she was standing rigid, growling and barking in a frenzy at the window above me. It wasn't her usual bark either. It was panicked, almost desperate, like she was trying to ward something off. The moment I sat up, I realized the room wasn't dark anymore. The entire space was washed in a pale glow, so bright it erased every shadow. For a split second, I thought it was morning, but the light wasn't coming from the horizon. It was pouring in through the west window, blinding and unnatural. I scrambled up onto my knees and peered out, but instead of seeing the pasture or even the faint outline of the tree line, all I saw was pure radiance. No source, no beam, just a solid wall of light that drowned out the entire landscape. It was like staring into a sun that had swallowed the world. My ears started ringing, and then I noticed another sound underneath it. Low, mechanical, almost like a constant electrical drone. The walls themselves seemed to hum with it, vibrating faintly as though the entire house was caught in the frequency. Molly's barking became frantic. She planted her paws against the windowsill and let out sharp, terrified yelps. I remember watching her body outlined perfectly against the glow, her shadow etched in black across the floorboards. I wanted to grab her, to pull her away, but my whole body froze. My chest felt heavy, my legs refused to move, and all I could think was that we weren't supposed to be seeing this. My heart hammered so hard it physically hurt. For the first time in my young life, the thought hit me with total clarity. I might die tonight. Every instinct screamed at me to hide, so I did the only thing I could. I slid back down into bed, dragged the blankets over my head, and curled into the tightest ball possible. The light was so bright it bled through the thin fabric, turning the inside of my makeshift cocoon into a dim, glowing red. I lay there trembling, clutching the sheets like they could protect me. Molly's barking suddenly cut off mid-yelp, and the silence that followed was worse than the noise. All I could hear was the drone, steady and suffocating, rattling through my teeth like static. Time stretched. I don't know if it lasted seconds or hours. I remember feeling a pressure, like the air itself was thickening around me, pressing down on my chest. At one point, I swear I felt a shift in the mattress, like the weight of something or someone had leaned against it. I didn't dare peek. My mind kept circling around the same thought. I didn't want to die. Not like this. Not as a kid. I remember thinking that over and over, almost chanting it inside my head. The next thing I knew, I was waking up. Morning sunlight filtered weakly through the window. My room was back to normal. Molly was curled up at the foot of the bed, sound asleep, breathing peacefully as if nothing had ever happened. But the moment I opened my eyes, the terror came flooding back. My whole body still felt sore, like I'd spent the night clenching every muscle. I bolted straight to my parents' room and shook them awake, desperate for some kind of confirmation. I asked if they'd seen the light or heard Molly barking. They looked at me, confused, half asleep, and said the night had been quiet. For years, I wrestled with whether it had been a nightmare. I tried to convince myself it was a hallucination, maybe a trick of sleep. Later on, when I learned about sleep paralysis, I tried to fit the memory into that box. The vivid fear, the noises, the overwhelming presence, they all lined up. But one thing doesn't match. I moved, I sat up. I looked out the window. I pulled the blankets over my head. None of that fits with being paralyzed. And no dream has ever left me with that kind of lingering dread, the kind that sticks in your bones. I don't know if what I saw was a UFO, or if it was something my brain conjured up in the middle of the night. All I know is that after that experience, I understood the difference between being scared and being truly, utterly terrified. Everything else I've ever feared since then feels small compared to that night. The night the sky opened and filled my room with impossible light. Story 10. I've carried this memory for years, quietly turning it over in my mind, never fully knowing what to do with it. It happened when I was a child, no older than 6 or 7, during a family trip to Los Angeles. My father had taken me to the Page Museum, the one with the tar pits outside and the glass walls filled with fossils inside. To me, it was a magical place, full of strange bones and ancient displays that made the whole world feel older than I could understand. But what I remember most vividly about that day has nothing to do with fossils or tar. It has to do with a room I wandered into, a room I've never been able to find again. At some point during the visit, my father and I became separated. It wasn't uncommon for me to wander a little, and he trusted me to stay within sight. But in a moment of distraction, I must have walked too far ahead. I recall pushing through a heavy door that I don't think was meant for the public. The hallway beyond was dim and strangely quiet compared to the bustle of the museum floor. I don't know why I kept going, only that something about it felt oddly inviting, almost like I was supposed to be there. Eventually, I entered a small, stark room. In the center was a long table, and seated at it were 3 people. At least, I think they were people. They were taller than anyone I had ever seen, with hair so pale it almost seemed to glow under the overhead light. Their clothes were unlike anything familiar, perfectly fitted to their bodies, as though they were made of a single seamless material. They looked up at me as though they had been waiting, their expressions calm, not unfriendly, but deeply unsettling in their intensity. I froze in the doorway, too shy and too young to know whether I was intruding. Yet instead of scolding me or telling me I didn't belong, they spoke. Or maybe it was something closer to placing thoughts directly into my head. The sensation is hard to describe, like hearing without sound. What I understood, clear as day, was that they were offering me a choice. I could remain here with my family, or I could leave with them. Go to where they came from, beyond this world. For a moment, my child's mind entertained the idea. I remember a strange, heavy silence pressing down on me, as though the air itself was holding its breath. The three figures never looked away, their eyes steady, patient, almost expectant. There was no malice in them, but there was no warmth either. The weight of their attention made me feel like the room had shrunk around me, like there was no way back unless I answered. Something deep inside me panicked. I thought about my father, the way he had been holding my hand just a few minutes earlier, and about the simple safety of being with him. That thought anchored me, and in my head I made my choice. I would stay. Almost instantly the atmosphere shifted. It wasn't anger I sensed, nor disappointment, but rather a kind of finality, as if the opportunity had closed forever. I turned and ran, heart hammering, stumbling back down the dim hallway until I found myself in the familiar brightness of the museum lobby. My father appeared from around the corner, relieved but scolding, asking where I had gone. I looked behind me, half expecting to see the strange doorway still open, but there was nothing but a blank stretch of wall. No hallway, no heavy door, no sign that the place I had just come from had ever existed. For years, I've questioned what really happened that day. Was it the overactive imagination of a lonely child, lost in the overwhelming size of a museum? Did I wander into a staff room and simply invent the rest in my head? Those explanations should be enough. But even now, decades later, I can still see those three figures as clearly as if I had just stepped into that room again. Their hair like woven light, their clothes without seams, their unnerving stillness. What unsettles me most isn't the memory of the encounter itself, but the feeling that lingers when I recall it. At 6 years old, I felt like I had been given a genuine choice between two paths, paths that would have defined the rest of my life. I chose to stay, but sometimes, late at night, I find myself wondering what would have happened if I hadn't. Would I have vanished that day, another child gone missing in a city of millions? Or would I have stepped into something far stranger, leaving this world behind entirely? I've never found any record of such a room existing in the museum. I've been back as an adult, retracing every hallway and corner, but nothing matches. It's as if the memory belongs to a place that isn't supposed to exist anymore. A place that, for reasons I'll never understand, opened its door to me for just a few minutes and then closed it forever. Thanks for watching. Don't leave before leaving a like to this video. Also hit the subscribe button to support my work. And as always, have a horrific nightmare, my dear.